passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Second hour live, and we're following a multitude of stories, starting off with Florida State and its ACC problem, talking about the Big Ten. We'll figure out the Pac-12 and the Big 12 equation. But this broke yesterday, and it really shook up the college football world. Dan Wetzel with a story about the Big Ten narrowing its focus on Oregon and Washington. Dan Wetzel, always nice to be with us here on the program. We saw him a couple of weeks ago in Nashville. Dan, thanks for hopping on. So this story broke yesterday. I appreciate you coming on to talk about it. What do you know, and what is happening right now?
Well, once the Pac-12 started looking pretty shaky and their future looked shaky, the Big Ten, a subgroup of Big Ten presidents met talking about if the Pac-12 falls apart, do we want to expand in that direction? And they, depending on what happens to Pac-12, right now there's a movement to not just jump in and offer teams. But again, if the Pac-12 is not viable, they'll circle this heap, like a scrap heap, looking for parts at a discounted rate. And they are focused on, there was talk go to 18 and grab Oregon and Washington, which is what the TV networks would approve of. There was talk of going to 20, adding Cal and Stanford, mainly for their academic heft and their proximity to San Francisco and the Silicon Valley and all that stuff. That's what the presidents also liked. Right now, the focus would be on 18 if they make a move. But they are waiting to see what happens with the University of Arizona, whether they want to leave the Pac-12, the other schools want to leave the Pac-12, or is there a way for the Pac-12 to come up with some kind of Hail Mary to keep everybody there and in agreement on their current media deal or some kind of partnership, something else. So the Big Ten right now appears to be in a wait and see move. But if they move, they'll move quickly, and it will be Oregon and Washington.
Dan, let's start with the Pac-12, and we'll work our way back. It's almost you're almost getting whiplash keeping up with the latest. Can you try to describe what is happening next out there between Arizona State, Utah, and everyone else?
So Arizona, so the Big 12 has got 13 teams, and they have obviously spot for at least one more at $31 million a year in revenue. And the Pac-12 deal that's currently on the table is, they don't know, projected maybe in the 20s. So low 20s. So let's say Arizona is the prime target of the Big 12. Would Arizona want to jump to the Big 12, give up their tradition in the Pac-12, leave the West Coast and play predominantly, Midwest, Plains, West Virginia, all over, for that money? There's a hesitancy amongst these schools in the Pac-12 to do that. They like being out west. It works for them. So this would be a different deal, but there's the money. So they could go, but Arizona and Arizona State have the exact same board of regents. So they're controlled by the same group. That group reportedly or believed to be will not let them split, so that they have to take Arizona State as well. Can the Big 12 take Arizona, Arizona State, and then presumably one more? The obvious choice would be Utah. If the Big 12 can do all that and those schools are willing to go, then the Pac-12 is going to collapse. But if they don't, the Pac-12 will probably stay together. And then it's really a matter of, does the Big 10 really not want to make a move unless there's instability, or will they go grab Oregon and Washington anyway just because they want them? So it's a lot of stuff that no one knows. There's a lot of pieces to move. The next big one is what's going on with the Arizona schools.
So, they have did I read correctly? I think I did, that they have a meeting scheduled tonight. I thought they just had one.
Yeah. I think they have a lot of meetings. Yeah, another Board of Trustees meeting. Paul, you know these guys are good at meetings. They're not so good at plotting out things, but they're good at meetings. So, yeah, there'll be another meeting, and we'll see. And that's it, it's not – it's the, you know, you and I have done this a long time. Generally, when there's more money at the table, that's the move that gets made every time. But it's not a 0% chance that they back off of this thing. And it's not a 0% chance they find some other creative way to improve that TV deal or come up with something that would keep the Pac-12 together. There's still a desire. Like, look, Florida State's screaming they want out. There's nobody screaming that in the Pac-12. Like, they want to be there. It would be you don't know what would happen to the success of your program, particularly that Arizona basketball program, when you dramatically move from a conference that's in the West to one that's in the Midwest to the East. Like, does it change recruiting? Does it change success level? Schools always think their programs will get better. They rarely do. You know, you look at Nebraska football or different stuff like that. It doesn't always work, and you can't really quite figure out why. But when you're having success, not always great to mess with it. And the University of Arizona just is a West Coast school. Do you want to be playing everywhere else? So there's a hesitancy there. There's an understanding that there's something more than just money, but at the same time, money tends to win out. So we'll see what comes down. A lot can happen in the next 12, 24 hours.
You know, Dan, stop me if I'm maybe I've had too much to drink today, but I'm asking you for some help here because I hear these commissioners. We both heard one recently. You can hear all of them say essentially the same thing about, you know, how concerned they are for the student athletes. And I mean, here they are playing chess in the middle of the night with their programs, all a big money grab, while they're trying to curtail what those quote unquote student athletes can do and get and receive and their freedom to go wherever they want, whenever they want. I'm probably asking the wrong person because you've been too objective on the sport of college football for too long. But can you make sense out of all this for us?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's called hypocrisy. Paul, I believe that's the definition of it. Yeah. Okay. For all we hear about, right? College sports, it's a disaster, existential threat. The playing field is unlevel now. They're ruining the fabric of the sport because these players, they get tampered with. Someone goes behind their back, makes an offer, potentially based on a better situation or a little bit more money. And then those players leave, no loyalty, and go to another place. And that sounds exactly like what's going on with entire universities now. What did Colorado do? They were talking to the Big 12 behind the Pac-12's back. They got offered a situation they thought was better for them, both fit and financially, and then they bailed. An entire university. I have not heard anybody run to the halls of Congress to scream and cry for help. To save us from conference realignment, which alters the sport, the fabric of the sport, and the competitive balance of the sport far more than a few transferring players. But that's how it is. So it's called hypocrisy. It's free markets for us, not for them. It's college sports.
Yeah. By the way, that's why I laughed at Lane Kiffin 2 weeks ago when he used the word disaster because It was the same guy that's I've lost track how many schools he's walked out on in the middle of the night.
Next time someone's salary goes down in college athletics, call me. The salaries go up, the TV money goes up, the facilities get nicer, the ratings go up, everything's bigger, everything's better. There's more opportunities for people, and yet somehow the sport is a disaster and we're all dying. Yet this part, which actually does affect people, I mean, it won't be fun for Washington State and Oregon State if this thing blows up and they go from Pac-12 to kind of Mountain West, but nobody's yelling to Congress. So that's just the way it is. I'm not a government solution guy on this either way, but I find it funny that for one, we've got to go to Congress for this. We're just stabbing each other in the back behind doors and forget tradition, forget this. If I can make $8 million more a year for my school, I'm doing this. So that's just how it is. So in 24 hours, the Pac-12 might exist. It might not. The thing's been around since 1915.
Well, They've done a lot of good in college football, and they've also, thanks to their tie-up with the Rose Bowl, nearly wrecked the sport by holding it hostage all those years. But I hope whatever happens to them is great. And you know what, Dan? Worrying about tradition in college football, that's senseless, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, new traditions will be made. Here's the thing. No matter what goes down, it will be good for some schools, bad for other schools. That's just how the world works. It can be unfortunate. We can sit there and shake our fists at the cloud. At the end of the day, they're going to play football, and we're going to tune in and watch. So it'll be all right. But it's certainly a comically outrageous way to run a comically outrageous sport. The lunacy is baked into the product. I mean, we have 133 teams playing for one championship. Like, that's, you know, who would invent such a thing? And that's part of both the absurdity and the joy of it, right? So it'll work out, but all these chess moves and backstabbing and all this stuff, it's pretty interesting, unless it's your school that might get left when the musical chairs end.
I've lost track finally, Dan. Was it 15, 20, 30 years ago, or was it just 2 years ago this month that the alliance formed between the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12?
Yeah, the alliance, they didn't have a contract. Remember, they looked each other in the eye and trusted each other. And I remember all of us laughed and said, good luck with that. We haven't seen anybody live up to their handshake agreement, but yeah, now we have everybody just scrapping on each other, and we'll see. ACC's angry with itself. Pac-12's in trouble. I don't know. There's some Hail Mary options out there. Maybe something works. I prefer to have the Pac-12 exist. I like having as many conferences. I like smaller, great conferences. But, you know, at the same time, I'm not going to be a total hypocrite. I'm kind of excited to watch Texas play games in the SEC and all that. So the sport's always evolving. You wouldn't run it this way again, but this is how it works out.
Seems like they're doing okay. The money keeps going up, unless you're the Pac-12 or the ACC.
Yeah.
Dan, we'll be glued to your Twitter feed to see what happens next. Thanks for dropping in. It was a fantastic conversation with Dan Wetzel of Yahoo. We are back. Who knows what will happen next, but something certainly will. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back. We got a special guest coming up in a minute from South Carolina. Mike is in Fort Worth. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great.
Hey, that's good. Hey, I got a question. This Florida State situation, the president keeps saying they have the means to get out. They're not worried about the grant of rights, do they have the money to get out? Are they going to pay the $140 million, or do they have rich people that's backing them? How are they going to get out of that? And my second question is, because if they do get out, I think that benefits the SEC or Big Ten. Big 12 can't get Florida State, Clemson. They can't get those quality teams. But there's an old saying, there's strength in numbers. I believe that Big 12 is going to get the four corner schools, and they're going to get San Francisco. They're going to get Stanford and Cal because the Big Ten is going to hold up. And as soon as the Big Ten holds up on Stanford and Cal, I think the Big 12 is going to jump on it because they want that San Francisco market. And so I think the Big 12 is going to acquire six teams. What do you think?
Yeah, you may be right about the Big 12. As far as Florida State, I do not think they're in any position to come up with $120 million. I mean, this is a school that primarily Jimbo Fisher walked out on because they wouldn't accede to his wishes for upgraded facilities. This is a state university. $120 million is not doable unless somebody comes in and helps them on that. So no,
right.
I agree with you on that. Hey, well said. Thank you very, very much. Bert is in Minnesota. Hello, Bert.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm gonna throw a Hail Mary out to you. Okay, what if the SEC and the ACC merge? Then you got the whole bottom half of the country going up the East Coast. I know it's a lot of teams that come in at one time, but this cherry picking, you get four here, two there, one swoop, you got them all, got the ESPN already in place, and, hey, that would work.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember something about all of this. You have 16 schools in the SEC now, beginning next year. They share revenue together. You add all these additional schools, and you're not bringing that much more to the table. Money is not that easy right now. I know it seems like it, but remember, the SEC decided to stay at 8 games because they were not satisfied with the differential from their television partners on going from 8 to 9. So it seems like there's free cash everywhere, but it's not that simple, especially when you add big numbers to an already large number. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. David is in Washington. You're on the air. Hello, David.
Yeah, before I get to the ACC, I guess Washington State, my school, and Oregon State, Paul, are headed for the Mountain West, right? Or either being independent.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the sad part about all this. Schools are going to get left behind, and I would think those are two that will definitely get left behind.
You know, reading the legalese and stuff about the ACC and Florida State and Clemson and all this, from my understanding, the legal argument is going to be if they go to the SEC, that is, since that's an ESPN conference, they don't have to pay the grant of rights fee. All they have to do is pay the exit fee. Or I guess there's also a poison pill. If eight teams in the ACC, eight schools, get together and vote to dissolve the ACC, well, then they leave without paying a dime. They don't have to pay the grant of rights
fee. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's the most interesting part of this. Could the ACC completely implode now?
Yep.
Right now, I know you have four schools that would be willing. Would Virginia be willing? That's five. I don't know where you
Virginia
find two or three more.
Well, there's seven that are threatening to leave, right? If you have Virginia Tech, Virginia, North Carolina State.
Yeah, but you
and
have,
then
to,
Duke
have to threaten to leave a $30 million a year package.
Yeah.
You better have somewhere to go that's better.
Yeah, and if they decide to leave and just pay the exit fee because they don't have to pay grant or rights fee because SEC is an ESPN conference, they could make that up probably in 3 or 4 years,
with the extra money the SEC pays.
And
David, you may be a legal scholar. I'm a talk show host, but I mean, there's a chance. there's a 100% chance that's already been explored.
Yeah, that's going to be their legal strategy, from what I understand.
Well,
in the AC, Florida State,
it's a good one, and I at that point I really don't know what the ACC can do.
Yeah, and ESPN can also renegotiate their grant
of
rights
and
television deal at all.
And I am in no way speaking for the company. I can assure you that I don't know any more than you do about what ESPN's thoughts here. But companies like ESPN, which is a subset of a major international company, which is Disney, are very cautious about getting in the middle of a legal crossfire.
And also, there's talk maybe in that contract with the ACC, if they lose schools like Florida State, Miami, Clemson, that triggers in a competition clause and lessens the value of the conference, and they won't have to pay as much with an exit fee or a grant of rights.
Well, I think you have just uncovered the Da Vinci Code here, and this may be exactly where we need to be concentrating.
That's it.
I think you're right. I heard last week from one of our guests off the air, he was talking about the very thing you're talking about is the examination of blowing the whole thing up. It has been predicted quietly, but, you know, again, you got a commissioner in Jim Phillips who has sung a very good tune when he's in front of cameras. Now, what he's saying off the air and behind the scenes, I have no idea right now. But it would be a good idea for him to say something soon, because his league is taking on a lot of water. AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, let me ask you a question. What's going on with JK and Jeff in Columbus? They called in as of late?
Don't know. Not lately.
Yeah, not lately. I'm pretty sure they're looking for a gym from Tuscaloosa so they could cash in their $100. Because remember, as soon as I announced, these are the two callers, they haven't called in. So I'm having suspicious calling. They're looking for him. Hey, 50-50 for both of you boys if we could find him together. But let me ask you a question. Who edits the podcast? Any idea? Because I listen to the podcast. So I listen to the recordings. I don't have the SEC network. Any idea who's doing that? Because I have a concern about that.
I really don't, AC. I'll see if I can get that for you. I'll send that information over to you. And right now we have a very special guest coming up next, one of the great young talents in the SEC from South Carolina. Takarion Joyner will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This comes from the state in Columbia. Concern with South Carolina's running back room? Don't be. A lot of great players, including our next guest, Takarion Joyner, who today was named to the Werfel Trophy 23 preseason watch list. That's both for talent and community service. He's been a quarterback. He's been a wide receiver. He's a running back now, and he is our guest, as we say hello to Takarion. Thanks for joining us. I know practice is just about wrapped up. How are you doing? And I know you're excited about the season. Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Paul? I appreciate y'all for having me. I'm definitely excited, man. Getting ready for a new year. Definitely a lot of buzz and good buzz in the building. I'm getting ready to roll.
I know all you can be is concerned about what's ahead, but when I think back on your career, you know, leading your team to that bowl win as quarterback, I mean, that was you've already accomplished quite a bit. How would you describe your almost 5 years, maybe more, at South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has been a roller coaster. I've tried to take advantage of every opportunity that's been given to me, whether that's a quarterback, receiver, and a non-upcoming running back. It's definitely been a roller coaster, but I've taken advantage of every opportunity. I'm grateful for every opportunity, and I want to continue just to be the best version of myself for my team.
DeCarry, on one position is tough enough. I realize you're a great athlete, but how have you continued to evolve from one to the other? Because there are so many nuances to being a quarterback, to being a wide receiver, and now a running back. How take us through that process.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has been a difficult process at times, physically, emotionally, and stuff like that. But I've just done I got to give all my glory to God. God has allowed me to just be able to naturally do these things, not like I've trained at these different positions all my entire life. So my natural God-given ability, I just want to continue just to praise him for it and continue just to take on full force for it.
I know we focus here a lot on head coaches. You've dealt with quite a few different position coaches as well, but I want to ask you, starting with Shane Beamer, because I don't know. I'm a talk show host, but I know as a player, he would seemingly be one of the great guys to play for. What's he like?
Oh, yeah, easy. He's definitely a high-energy coach, a player-first coach, a guy who we all love playing ball for. Whenever you love your coach, you play a little harder for him. So he's a guy who loves his players. We love Coach Beamer, and we appreciate the culture he's brought us. He's brought to this university and want to continue to play hard for him.
To carry on, this is a big season coming up. You got the first game against your cross-state rival, North Carolina, but if I could go back a little bit, we happened to do our Friday and Saturday morning show last year from Columbia, the week of the Tennessee game, and let's be honest, nobody who does what I do, pontificate and predict, had South Carolina winning that game. What was that experience like to beat Tennessee on a Saturday night and then the next week go to Clemson and knock off the bitter cross-state rival?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a high-energy 2 weeks around here in Columbia, South Carolina, definitely inside our building. Leading up to the Tennessee week, you know, nobody really expected us to win that game, but we knew what we had inside our room, inside of our building, coming off of a tough Florida loss. We just had a lot to prove, we had a chip on our shoulder. You know, we had to go out and try to be the best version of ourselves, but we knew what we were capable of. And, you know, if anybody said they believe we would win, they're definitely lying, but it's all good.
No, I can assure you, I saw Shane Beamer that morning. He dropped by to do our program, and I'm not even sure he thought it was possible, but I know he didn't let on to you. I mean, he looked like he was just enjoying the atmosphere, but that had to be, you know, those 8 days are really unlike anything we've seen, those of us who cover the SEC. As you take that experience, and you had the Notre Dame Bowl experience, which you guys had a shot at winning and then let it go. But still, the recruiting picked up, the season's arrived. What are your friends on the team, what are your colleagues and teammates, what have you been talking about in the offseason, especially now that everyone is back?
Oh, yeah. I think we're definitely taking on that last few weeks of the season kind of vibe, being able to just build up what we did last year towards the end of the season. Knowing what we are capable of, a lot of those guys who played big moments in those games are back this year. We're kind of a senior-heavy group. Just being able to take that leadership and that role into this upcoming season. I'm not really relying too much on that happened last year, but definitely wanting to move forward, but also not forget what we are capable of.
I would like to talk about you a little bit because you have so much respect in that community. Obviously, your school nominating you and you being selected as on the watch list for the Werfel. I know you do a lot of community service. I also know you're a dad now. Talk about that experience. I mean, obviously, you're still a young guy. You're dealing with so many different aspects of life. Put it into perspective for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, my life has, just as last year, has definitely taken a turn. Me becoming a dad has definitely given me a different outlook on life. Definitely give me a different why around here. And I definitely love my daughter to death. Best thing that ever happened to me. But in terms of me having the respect around this community, it's definitely a testament to my character, testament to my mother, the kind of man she raised. And so I want to continue just to be the best version of myself. People just kind of see the kind of guy I am. I want to continue just to impact people around me. So I want to continue to have a positive impact on people around me. Just continue just to bring people along, continue to share my testimony and continue just to share my story and stuff like that. So I'm grateful for it.
And I want to talk about that story in a minute. We got a picture on the screen of this. I don't know if you can see this or not, DeCarry.
Yeah, I can see it.
Describe this to the audience.
Oh, yeah. So this definitely is a picture of me and my daughter. Photo shoot last week. It warms my heart, about to bring tears to my eye. Man, she's everything to me, man. The best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I just try to, every single morning I wake up to her face, man, she's just, you know, everything that, she's true love. You know, my mom always told me, you don't know true love until you have your own kid. And that's definitely true.
You mentioned your mom. I know that, like a lot of people, you've had some tough things in your life. We all do. But talk about the impact and what you've learned from those who raised you.
Yeah, definitely. Everything, credit goes to my mother, a strong single mom. My dad passed away when I was 9. You know, just seeing what we've been through with how she took on that full force of being a single parent, raising us. She's the strongest woman I know to this day. She continues just to never amaze me. She's the reason why I am who I am today. I love her to death. I just want to continue just to make her proud. I just want to continue to make her heart warm.
I know you talk about your dad. You honor him on your social media. Nobody can explain. Nobody can say, yeah, I know what you've gone through, even though I lost a dad a couple of years after you did in terms of my age. And it's something that no matter where I've gone in my life, it stays with me every single day. How do you, it's a crazy question to carry on, but how do you deal with that at such a young age and then mature so well? You have your degree now. It can't be easy.
Yeah, definitely not easy at all. Definitely the hardest part of my life, not just for me personally, but for my family as well. We definitely went to a point. I mean, to this day, it still feels like it happened yesterday. I'd be lying if I told you, you know, a blueprint of how I just stayed strong, how I matured. We're just a God-fearing family. We put all our faith in God. We don't question God. Just me losing my dad definitely turned me into the man I am today as well. Seeing how my dad loved me and my family from when I can remember to age 9, I try to instill that love into my family and to my daughter. So everything happens for a reason, man. I try to continue to honor my dad every way possible. I feel him every single day living through me. So when I continue to be the best version of myself for him and my family.
Can't imagine how proud he would have been, and I know how proud your mom was when you were the MVP of the Mayo's Bowl a couple of years ago, and to see what you've accomplished, to see you get your degree. What did that mean to mom?
It meant everything to her. My mom always told me, you know, no one can ever take your education away from you. So that was definitely a priority to me. Just know whenever I knew I had that opportunity to have an education, to go play ball for free, I knew I was going to be able to make her proud and get a degree.
I have to ask you about that sports and entertainment management degree, making a lot of people where I work nervous at ESPN. What are you going to do with it?
I just plan to continue to build on it. After I get done playing ball, I want to go to law school someday, you know, tie that into being a sports attorney, whether that's a sports attorney or I want to go be a manager for somebody working in an agency group. But it's definitely, you know, benefited me a lot being able to just maximize on my degree with NIL, being able to be my own manager. So I definitely take account for that.
Before you go, so many people do not understand, but comment anyway about young people like you being able to participate in NIL. How has it affected you, and what do you think about it in terms of what you have encountered as well as your friends on the team?
Yeah, it's definitely, NIL was the best thing that ever happened to college athletes easily. And us being able just to profit off our name, image, and likeness. It's put me in a position to, you know, just come back to college for an extra year, not wanting to run off to the NFL, but also has, you know, allowed me to be taking care of my family, being able to take care of my daughter, allowed me just to live comfortably. The best thing that ever happened to us as athletes, so I'm definitely appreciative for NIL. That's also a testament to my character as well. You know, businesses want to continue to work with me because how I carry myself, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to continue to do that, just continue to hold myself to a high standard.
Well, I can't imagine businesses not wanting to work with someone like you. Dakarian, thank you for joining us. We hope to follow your progress during the season, and we had a blast talking to you and hope you come back.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. God bless.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure. Wow, that was just so cool, thinking about some of the things that he said. We'll take a short break. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And wow, that was really fun to talk to Karen. Let's check out Brady in South Carolina. Hello, Brady.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
What do you think about Spencer Rattler this year?
Well, I think you have to be feeling pretty good about him. He took a while last year to get warmed up, but I don't know why he would go in the opposite direction. What about you and your friends? You pretty confident?
Yeah, I'm really confident in him this year. I think South Carolina's going to make a run, be top 10 this year. Think so.
Okay, well, I appreciate your confidence, but try not to look at the schedule with that prediction. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark. Mark, you there? No, Mark. Jay is up next. Hello, Jay.
Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
It is going great. Thank you.
I want to talk about Florida State since that's the talk of the day.
Okay.
Paul, they haven't even been relevant in football lately. I mean, I know they got the brand. They got a good brand. I mean, they did good last year, and they predicted to do good this year. But, I mean, I don't see how their president can make them demand.
Well, he's frustrated. I understand that. But they also agreed to the deal. That's the thing about contracts people forget. When you agree to something, you're obligated. Suddenly you can't start spitting out and saying, hey, well, we didn't want to do this. You shouldn't have agreed to it. But I think what he's saying is we're open for business if the SEC or the Big Ten, or really those are the only two that would matter, are interested in us. Come give us we'll call you. Let us know if you're available. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's continue and check out Vance, who is in Georgia. Hey, Vance.
Hey, Paul. I got to tell you, Paul, my heart is a little bit hurt. They have, through 25 years or longer, so mismanaged this sport that what you have going on right now is absolute chaos. It's utter chaos. Let's be honest about it. It's a mess. You know, I feel sorry for kids that aren't going to get to grow up, and I actually got to be a grown man, and they're not going to see Nebraska and Oklahoma on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You know, they have ruined this entire thing. And for people to talk about the Southwest, the old Southwest Conference, without ever speaking of one simple truth, that place fell apart after what happened to SMU. That was a catalyst of that, in my opinion. But, I mean, this place is turning in. Listen to what all the conversations are, Paul. Don't you think it's a disaster?
Vance, maybe because I'm so close to it and immersed in it as I don't want to call myself a professional. That was there's some debate about that. But
you are a professional,
but
Paul.
I watch it so often, and I it's because it's such a big part of my life that yes, the hypocrisy is upsetting, disturbing, but it's also something that I know so many people love and enjoy, and I do too. So it's a balance.
I love it with all my heart. Forgive me for interrupting.
No, that's quite all right.
But let me just state this. You notice that everything's going on is all about money.
Sure, absolutely.
It's all about money. So how long is it going to be before the games that I don't know how long I'm going to live, by the way, but how long is it going to be before everything's pay-per-view?
We're already there. I mean, you probably don't realize, but the amount of money you're paying for sports on your cable bill or your satellite bill is really steep. I mean, I don't know what it is today because everything changes, but ESPN alone used to be the 10 times what the next thing you got on TV was. And the reason is the rights fees are so high. I'll say this in conclusion. We have to go, Vance. I'm sorry, but we're at the end of the hour. But as bad as everything is, and it's chaotic, and we cover it here every day, I can't wait for 3.5 more weeks to the first game, and I know you can't either. And I just wish the leaders of the sport would tamp down on the hypocrisy about how concerned they are for student athletes. Their war is not mine when we all know it's about money.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.